All right, make sure you're in fellowship as here we're finishing up verse 16, Colossians 3, in terms of song worship. We've been through all the details that are affiliated with accurate and true song worship to be in line with the truth of doctrine. It gives everyone involved the opportunity and witness towards one another to teach and encourage and exhort one another in regards to our own Christian lives. And above all, it provides a corporate witness in regards to what we hold to in terms of the doctrine in our souls. And as we saw, the final phrase, in your hearts, points to the positive volition that is present in regard to those who will align themselves in such a way in the accuracy and spirituality of the truth of Bible doctrine in this application. So that was point 77, 78 again, page 41 of our notes. In other words, the singing is not just going through the motions or for entertainment. It's designed, according to this verse at least, in Ephesians, to be a source of camaraderie and unity and support to one another, for one another, as a body of Christ, seeking to be prize contenders and maximizing in regards to glorifying God for all eternity. 79, where we pick up doctrinally adjusted singing, is to be a product of the doctrine in the soul, new man, as being emphasized here in chapter 3, the regenerate human spirit and the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, coming from our polyvolition, employing the filling of the Holy Spirit, new man in such method, and then applied, continuing point 79, applied with understanding to oneself, that you recognize and are able to filter the words through the doctrinal teaching that has been received, and then continuing and desire to express that doctrine to other seekers. Positive volition termed as seekers in the scripture. So that is a desire that those who know the truth have, and that is to express that, to pass that on to others. And as we are fishers of men, utilizing the singing as a way to reach out, if you will, when you use that term, evangelize, witness to others in terms of the doctrine that's in our soul, and to see others hopefully get on doctrine, to plug in and maximize in regard to their own Christian experience and making the rebound maturity adjustments and holding to the end. So 80 is not a matter of musical ability, in parentheses, in tune or out, in terms of your singing. It is a verbal expression of the plan of God in unison with others that is highlighted. Out of tune? Well, don't forget the phrase, sing in grace. Grace them out. Whether one can carry a tune, monotone, whatever, that's not the issue. The issue is this is an opportunity to verbally express yourself in terms of the doctrine in your soul towards others, and as a matter of proclaiming yourself to be positive in this fashion. So, obviously, it's nice to have people that are here, can sing, and have the music ability so that we can have some facsimile of harmony. But either way, when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, that's not the issue. The issue is being in fellowship and that it's doctrinally aligned. 80, one now in your hearts to God. The final words here looks to the Father as an indirect recipient in song worship. To God utilizes the dative case in the Greek, which denotes an indirect object rather than a direct object. The direct objects we're singing towards one another. Indirectly, we're singing to God. And that is just essentially what we are doing in regards to worship in and of itself. And we're expressing our worshiping to the Father, to God, in this vein. So 82, obviously God needs no instruction or exhorting, teaching or admonishing as to His Word. He's not dependent upon us in that vein. One of the great tests in life is truly looking to God and trusting and believing in Him in all things. Human nature says, no, I've got to get in there and I've got to crank it up. I've got to make these things happen. Obviously, we understand application of the doctrine and praying and fulfilling His Word, but that is the actions that we are supposed to limit ourselves to in terms of pursuing life. And we look to God to ensure that all these things are fulfilled and all the blessings, etc., that we have in life will be provided for us on our behalf, and to trust Him that these things will come about. His Word, I mean, how many hours have many of us spent in terms of studying it, scrutinizing it, dissecting it, trying to learn it? Do you believe it's all going to come to fruition? Is it going to happen this way? And that's always a test that the cosmos is constantly trying to put on our souls to take issue with it or to doubt it. Doubting Thomas, doubting Peter on the water, all these things. That is the challenge to your soul. To truly believe in the doctrine. To truly believe that the Bible is really an inerrant Word of God. The world looks at it as just another book written by men. See? To believe that God exists. There is a God. All these things that the Bible reveals to us and proclaims to us. And to understand that the God we serve does not need our help in anything. Hence the word serve. We are here to serve Him because He is the Almighty God. He is the God above all things. He is our Creator. Again, the nature of men always wants to put in their 2 cents worth or say that God helps those that help themselves. Well, if that's the case, we're all bound to hell. Because we are in a helpless estate. Without God, without His plan being fulfilled, we're exactly on the same course and destiny as Satan and his angels. For their rebellion against God. All these things. So, the emphasis here to God is 83. The indirect nature of the language points to a reciprocal action between the corporate body and God in likeness to the truth. Yes, God, we're in agreement with you. There's the old business adage that, you know, nobody wants a yes man around. Well, guess what? Guess what God's looking for? He's looking for a yes man. All these things, you put it in their doctrinal perspective, and obviously we understand it's good to have counsel and things of that nature. But on the other end of the coin, positive volition and orientation to it, God's plan is what God's looking for in terms of reciprocating in blessing and like-mindedness with us with one another, and then return back to Him. 84, finish up this verse. Again, after getting into it and teaching it, I've always said my study is not done until I get up here and teach it. And the amount of exhortation that came out of this verse is almost mind-blowing in that vein. And all this is designed. 2,000 years ago, almost, these verses were written to this church of Colossae. And how apropos is it to us today in terms of fighting the lukewarmness of Christianity that surrounds us and seeks to inundate us and drag us into their pool of paddling-puking human viewpoint often, and a mixture of truth and error in regards to how they prescribe the Christian life to others and live for themselves, to hang in there with it as a corporate unit, knowing that we will be critiqued and evaluated based on our ministry as one another and as one body, and as it may turn out to be for those otherwise, when we're in phase three, and we'll be seen in such fashion. 84, God is honored by those that sing praises to Him. As the book of Psalms is an example par excellence. So to finish off the verse, we'll just look at Psalms, some of the verses that we have that are songs. They are verse put to music. That of praise in regards to God, orientation, and like-mindedness in regards to what God proclaims about Himself and His plan, Psalm 7:17. Psalm of David, one of the authors, son of this music, I will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness. Thanksgiving isn't according to unrighteousness. It's according to God's absolute righteousness. It's not self-righteousness. It's God's righteousness. And again, just that one principle just clears up so much in terms of understanding salvation as it pertains to us as a human race. And what it needs to have in order to have a relationship with this God that we serve. And that is that we are indebted and hold to Him based on His perfect moral character. And that will never change. And He sent His Son with that same moral character so that we could share with that. Share with Him God's character. And hence, in spite of our sinful nature of the STA, we can still, as Paul has so delicately and sweetly put on the new man, the love child, from God in salvation, to serve God even in time in this condition. And that stirs up David in regards to his thankfulness in the second part of the verse, and will sing praise in the name of the Lord Most High. That's Yahweh Most High. Obviously looking to the second member of the Godhead as executing the Father's plan for us in those terms. Psalm 9, 2 and 22. Verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. Not just part of it. I'm not just going to hold hands with You and the cosmos too, God. With all my heart. You're one and only truly beloved in that sense. You're number one love in life. Guess what? Sorry to blow anybody's expectations. Your number one love in life, if you're positive and you're going to do it right, is not your spouse, is not your children, is not your friends, is God. See? Only then can you have the real appreciation and fullness of love towards all these other people, to everybody else around us. The fullness of love towards one another under the divine love. If you're not positive in doctrine, you cannot have the full complement of love in regards to another person. Being in fellowship, applying Bible doctrine, that which we call divine love, see. So, before I start losing my place here, again, the exhortations, it's just phenomenal. I will tell of all your wonders, verse 1, that's proclaiming the plan of God to others around him. I will be glad and exalt in you. That's where he finds his true happiness in life. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. So obviously, what we do congregationally, David and the Jews did themselves that were adjusted to doctrine. 22, verse 22. No, that's not going to work. Not enough verses for that one. There's a bunch of them in here. I was just pulling out some for it. Let's go to chapter 18, verse 49. Another psalm of David, in terms of, obviously he had a very prestigious position and plan of God, being the king of Israel, etc., and the opportunities that he had in terms of witness. And this, projectively, in a prophetic way, looks to the future, even. Therefore, I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord. That's his future expectations. Expecting to be in that position in rulership with Christ during the millennium. And I will sing praises to your name. So singing is going to go on throughout history for believers, even into our phase 3, 21-13. Another psalm of David. Here, looking at God's justice being fulfilled in time in regards to those who are enemies of his, and obviously in turn become enemies in regards to David. That God will get rid of this, destroy these people. And whereas everybody goes, oh, that's just too bad what happened to those people because of their solicitous evil that they promoted and sought to utilize and promote in regards to their lives, etc. David, in recognition that God is going to come down and use a hammer on them once and for all, especially verse 13, be you exalted, O Lord, in your strength, and I will sing and praise your power when you do so, defeating Israel's enemies and things of this nature. You know, I've mentioned first class about our own country in terms of prophetic realities. The problem we have is whatever we may see, that obviously we appreciate the physical benefits that come from a lot of this. But the problem is that now in our history as a country, there is no spiritual revival. There's no, absolutely no spiritual revival going on. There's only two revivals that are occurring, and one is economic, and the other is safety and security. And what are we looking for to fill that gap in? It's going to get worse, and people are going to start crying, peace, peace. Well, that's not going to happen for a while. Anyway, I was just thinking about that on break. 18:49, 21:13, did that one. 27:6, try to keep up with my verses here, you know, and I am. But remember, David wasn't perfect either, and yet he wrote these words. 21:13, 27:6. All right, that's where I'm at. Another Psalm of David. Again, a reflection of God protecting him in regards to enemies and things of that nature. Verse 6, now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. See, your human nature wants to say, well, David was really getting off on destroying his enemies here. No, what David's getting off on was seeing the hand of God and his justice being fulfilled in regards to history, in regards to his own life. You got to be careful in regards to how we do present things, because sometimes they can give you the wrong impression in regards to the intentions that are behind it. Nobody, you know, wants to see people die and go to hell, not at least not anybody with any compassion whatsoever in their life. Nobody wants to see come under the wrath of God and undergo that torment, you know, like the Nazis did in World War II with the Jews, that type of atrocity and cold heart, except no, that's not positive volition. Even though we're often painted that way because we don't run under our emotions, basically, in terms of the syrupy approach to people. No, it's because you want to see the plan of God fulfilled in regards to our life. Nobody wants to see any nation get destroyed. But if they're evil and this is God's justice coming down, we want to see that. We want to see God's justice fulfilled in that vein. And ultimately recognizing that all evil will be destroyed once and for all, bring us into the final era of human history and angelic history called the eternal state, which goes on forever. But anyway, so don't let the things concern you in regards to accusations and things that may be thrown at you in terms of your stand for the truth, and especially in terms of justice and righteousness and things of that nature, fairness, equity being fulfilled and God's plan, otherwise stepping in and doing what he does in order to maintain the perpetuation of his plan and fulfillment. Chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. 4 and 12. I'm learning. I'm checking it off as I go along here. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones. Another Psalm of David. And give thanks to his holy name. His name set apart above every name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. As his justice is expressed in wrath and condemnation otherwise. Weeping may last for the night, but a shallow joy comes in the morning. Life is temporary. Ultimately, it's over with, and our eternal life niche, for all that's erased, basically, we're not prone to any more adverse effects towards us in that regards. We'll be over with. 33:1-2. Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright. Looks good on you when you praise God in this fashion. Righteous ones is language for believers themselves who possess God's righteousness. Give thanks to the Lord. And here, the different ways that it could be done in accompaniment with musical instruments, with the lyre. And that's L-Y-R-E, lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. Not 9, and not 11, 10. wonder what significance might be there. But anyway, 47, 6 and 7. This is a Psalm of the sons of Korah. God ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Here's some prophetic overtone there. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. His plan is ultimately going to be fulfilled. Yes, ultimately we're all going to get raptured or resurrected if we're not alive at the rapture. We're all going to experience that. And hence we are to keep our focus and maintain our faith in regards to these things. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For the God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. Skillful looks at the architect and design of the doctrine that embodies the content. And the musical capabilities, etc., that would be associated in the accompaniment. 57, 7 and 9. Here's a situation where Saul turned antagonistic towards David. Saul went into reverse it. And Saul, the first king of Israel, he was adjusted to begin with. And we would say he was positive to God's plan, but he went into reversionism. And God determined he was going to replace him. Their first king died sin unto death. That's Israel's history for you right there. Their first king died sin unto death. I think it's fairly apropos because God did not originally design Israel to be ruled by kings. He designed them to be ruled by judges, people with doctrinal astuteness and ability to govern in this capacity. And you have the book of Judges that reflects upon that. But they want to be like everybody else in the world. Got to have a king. Well, that doesn't stop God. In fact, their rebellion, if you will, discontent with him, fit right into the plan that he had for them. All right, I'll give you kings. And now that I'll give you a real king, a king that you won't believe. And so anyway, you have that as part of the background in terms of Saul going after David. And David would have to hide from him. Saul's son, Jonathan, would help him out on occasion in that vein. 57, 7 and 9. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises in spite of the antagonism and the pursuit to do him harm, to kill him. This is just how depraved, when you go in reversion, depraved the SCA can become. You know, and Saul became that way. Awake, my glory, awake, harp and lyre, verse 8, 9. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. Recognizing his future destiny as God would have designed for him in regards to his life. 59, 17. Oh, my strength. Again, the same conditions here. Saul after him. I will sing praises to you in God's continued deliverance for David. For God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness, everlasting love, loyal love, chesed, or doctrinal love that we recently reviewed. That God will protect us. If you're positive and you want to make the maturity adjustment and hold to the end, God will protect you so you can do that. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may pay my vows day by day. The promises, in order to serve God and fulfill his duties before God, in that vein, and he finds a reason to praise God as God gives him the ability, the position, etc. God establishes all authority, number one, etc. 61:8, 66 verses 2 and 4. Verse 1, actually in the Hebrew text is verse 2. Verse 1 is the headings that you have in your Psalms for the choir director. A song of psalm, that's verse 1 in the Hebrew. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Personifying creation in and of itself. Recognizing Him as the Creator. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. To exalt. His glory is seen in the creation. All that creation is. His creation is of such magnitude. Every person that comes to God consciousness is held liable and culpable that He exists. Every person. If they have the mental capacity and are able to do so and arrive at that state mentally, to look and consider life in and of itself. Romans 1 tells us this. See. So we sing praises that He reveals Himself. Well, how come people don't see Him? Because they traded the truth for a lie. That's why. Their negative volition. See. All that's in play. 66, 2, verse 3, say to God, how awesome are your works, because the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. Feigned, pseudo. See. For all the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. They will sing praises to your name. Other verses tells us that while in the tribulational period, all hell's going to break loose on this planet. Environmentally, Greenpeace and the rest of those people won't know which way to turn. Oceans turn into contaminated, blood-like substance and appearance. Islands. All the islands, if you want to go to the Caribbean or whatever, you may not want to now, especially if you're going to take a boat. But anyway, all they're going to disappear during the tribulational period. All the other environmental things going on. You want solar warming? You don't want to live in Europe during this time as the weather over there is nothing compared to what they think is bad. But after all that, and Jesus returns second advent, He is going to revitalize this planet. He's going to refresh it. He is going to bring it back to a pristine condition. And it will be interesting, maybe at that point in time, to be a scientist and to see how the organic, physical, metaphysical things occurred in regards to what he does miraculously in this way. How all, I mean, you got to figure the stuff that's going on, the nuclear holocaust in regards to our country, and how it's going to be devastated. But yet, in the end all be all, the rest of the planet, God is going to change all that. Jesus is going to change all that. He's the Creator. It won't be pseudoscience. There may be some, but probably real science for once in our history that will be sustained throughout the millennial period in those ways. 66, 2 and 4. So creation will rejoice. Is personified as God removing the curse. We're tied into creation. See, spiritually, what we are spiritually, you will find parallel events that occur in regards to the planet physically. Just like the pre-diluvian infiltration of the demons coming into this planet. But anyway, 71, verses 22 and 23. Some of these psalms also have as a background operation, what we call Operation Bathsheba. Not David's finest point in his history, where he committed an adulterous act with the woman Bathsheba, who was married to Uriah, one of his soldiers. And he had her husband sent to the front lines to ensure he'd get killed so he could cover up the fact that he knocked her up, got pregnant, and marry her. All that stuff's involved. First child died before it ever reached God consciousness. Then she had another child, and guess who that child was? His name was Solomon. People really do not understand what God's looking for in people. In spite of all that, David was positive. Obviously, Bathsheba must have plugged in somewhere along the lines to be blessed in the association with him in this vein. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. It's a far cry from what the funny world out there tries to paint Christianity. So, this is one of those psalms, the reason why I brought that is what we call a rebound psalm. David... he got under arrogance when he did this. God promised him a long life. And so, no telling, you know, what goes through the brain computer with the SGA in regards to rationalization, all this other stuff. But obviously, part of it might have been supported by the fact, well, God's not going to kill me over this. And he refused to rebound for a while. For about a half a year, it looks like, somewhere along those lines. And God came down on him like a ton of bricks under divine discipline. His health was on a shoestring. And when his health went down, obviously physically he was weak. And that gave opportunity for all those who were antagonistic against him in positions of power, etc., in the kingdom to turn on him, to try to usurp him, try to get rid of him, destroy him. Understand, citizens as a whole in a nation, unless you have the majority of them, I'll put it that way, that are oriented to biblical principles and the laws of the Bible, etc., do not like righteousness executed in regards to their lifestyle and society in general. And while David had his SGA, one thing he did is he upheld the law in regards to his position as king of Israel. Yeah, that means that if he was a false prophet, you had him out, you got him out, and you stoned him. You're following all idolatry, you deal with him. You want to be a homosexual, then we're going to kill you too, or an adulterer, or whatever. And he was guilty of the sin. But he still fulfilled the law. And obviously, just as we see today, when conservative principles... legal principles are applied against illegal things that are going on, how people will jump up and scream bloody murder in regards to these things. And that's what happens in societies that are bankrupt spiritually otherwise. So he refused to rebound. Finally, he was confronted by Nathan the prophet and told the story, and it was personified him in Bathsheba. And he said, what would you do with somebody that took the only land that this one person owned, even though this person owned you know, herds of them? Well, I'd tear that guy new and kill him. Oh, I'm talking about you, David. I'm talking about you. And that brought him to his senses. But then, there's your Bible story for Sunday school. So, many of these psalms are centered on that situation. And David understood the grace. And he also understood the discipline that was associated with that grace. all that was occurring, that God still protected his positive volition. Fulfill his plan for his life. So that is, Psalm 122 and 23. I will also praise you with a harp, even your truth, O God. To you I'll sing praises with a lyre, O you Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul which you have redeemed. recognizing that his forgiveness also comes from the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, as it will come into reality in the future. My tongue also will utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed, for they are humiliated, who seek my hurt. What you don't want to do, at least according to the Old Testament standards, is miss with God's anointed. Those who he sees as being positive. And he places it in positions such as David as a king of Israel. See, the worst may not come to him. It may come back on the persons that are aggressively attacking him. 75:9. This is a psalm of Asaph, one of the authors here. It's basically a song of praise. But as for me, I will, in terms of God and his justice, his righteousness expressed towards mankind in that vein, and the wicked that he will destroy and do away with. That's negative volition in that vein. But as for me, I will declare it forever, his justice. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. And all the horns of the wicked he will cut off. The horns of the righteous will be lifted up. Ultimately, vindication will come to everyone who stood for the truth of Bible doctrine in that way. 92:1. Song for the Sabbath, day of rest. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. It's a good thing, obviously, looking at the divine good that would be associated in regards to the application in a spiritual sense for the believers. 98:4-5. Shout joyfully to the Lord, to Yahweh, all the earth. Bring forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Again, recognizing a universal recognition ultimately. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With the trumpets and sound of the horn, shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. 101:1, I will sing of loving kindness and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. God's love and his execution of righteousness in that capacity. 104:33. Let my meditation, the consideration, if you will, wait, 33. Begin 33. 34 is followed. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live, the psalmist says. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. As long as God gives me a breath of life. See. Let my meditation be pleasing to him. The contemplation, meditation has a negative connotation sometimes, obviously in the spiritual sense. So contemplation is a good word to place in that, but to meditate, to consider, contemplate in a deep way. Be pleasing to him. As for me, I would be glad in the Lord. 105:2. Sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, his creation, plan of salvation, all these things, the miracles that God has done in the history, in validation of his existence, etc. It's 105:2, 108, verses 1 and 3. Another Psalm of David, my heart is steadfast, O God, I will sing praises even with my soul. Wake harp and lyre, verse 2, awaken the dawn. As soon as he gets up. 3, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. His rulership overall, obviously in that regards, personified all of these things that he is proclaiming. 135:3, Psalm 135, verse 3. Contrast to the vanity of idols. Praise the Lord, verse 3, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. It is beautiful. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his own possession. In spite of what people may do to them otherwise. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is lovely. All right, so 135:3, 138:1. I will give you thanks with all my heart, David says. I will sing praises to you before the gods. It's a tone of sarcasm that song has. I will sing praises to God, to the gods, to all the things that people set up as their own gods in life. And it's seen as if you were a sarcastic approach in regards to all the idolatry that people are steeped in life. 144:9. I will sing a new song to you, O God. The doctrine doesn't quit. Upon a harp, thin strings, I will sing praises to you. 146:2, verse 1, praise the Lord, O my soul, I will praise the Lord while I live. Verse 2, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Long as life is left in me, keep my eyes focused in thankfulness for the grace of God on our behalf. 147:1 and verse 7, praise the Lord for his good, sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is becoming. It adorns us in regards to our very spiritual appearance towards other population, towards God, and usually in your witness in that vein. In verse 7, I sing to the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praises to our God on the lyre. And then finally 149, verses 1 and 3, praise the Lord, sing the Lord to the Lord a new song. It's praised in the congregation of the godly ones. It's again seen in application of the assembly itself. Of Israel. Let Israel be glad in his maker. The sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Verse 3. Let them praise his name with dancing. Let them sing praises to him with timbrel and lyre. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to utilize these things. In Jesus' name, amen.